For our second scripture reading and text for this morning, we'll be looking to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 16. In the bulletin says 7, but to give more context, we'll be reading starting at verse 1, reading down to verse 16 of chapter 4 in Ephesians. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray. Father, we desire to hear from you. We pray that you'd give us the help of the Holy Spirit, the ministry. We thank you for your promised presence and blessing, the blessings of Christ here with us. And Father, we just pray that you'd bless your word in particular and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most important things we realize as Christians is that we need to love the church. And somebody has said that besides what we think of Christ, the most important thing, second most important thing, is what do we think of his bride, the church? And I believe that's true. It's important that we think well of Christ's bride, the church, and be part of it, be part of the church. Topic for this morning is growing in the body of Christ. And this is how we grow as Christians. We do grow in the body of Christ and with the body of Christ. And that's a key to understanding how Christians grow. We don't grow as separate plants off to ourselves. We grow together in the hothouse of the local church. That's the way we're meant to function, and that's the way Christ supplies gifts in the church for the building up of the body of Christ, not to build or puff ourselves up with our gifts, but to be used in the church as we serve one another. And because growth is such an important thing for us as Christians, we all should know that we're supposed to grow. A newborn baby is supposed to grow. They don't stay little babies very long. They continue to grow. So it is with Christians. We know that we're growing, though sometimes imperceptibly to ourselves especially, but we do and should and must grow. But I'm convinced that we can't grow apart from our head, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We, when we're saved, are in put into Christ. We believe into Christ and we're united into the Lord Jesus Christ, that mystical union that's mystical but nevertheless real. We are in Christ. We're united to Him. We're in union with Him. But because of that, we're also in union with all believers. And particularly that takes effect in the local church. So I'm convinced that we can't grow apart from our head, being united to Him and also being in fellowship with Him. So we can be united and yet have little communion or fellowship with Christ. That's not going to promote growth. But also the same is true with the church. We are united to other believers, and if we're not involved in the local church, with our brothers and sisters, serving, using our gifts, our growth is going to be stunted. We won't grow as we should. There are many means of grace that God uses for our growth. But one of the main means, I'm convinced and I know from my own experience, is the local church and how it beautifully works together, as Paul pictures it here in verse 16, from the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every part, causing the growth of the body for the building up or the edifying of itself in love. So this morning we'll look at that, thinking of first Christian growth and how we grow, then the fact that we grow in love is a primary grace that God works, and all the growth, all the ministry that takes place is in love in the body of Christ. One of the key commands is to love one another, and so we walk in love and we grow in love. Thirdly, we'll look at how that takes place in these, using these gifts Christ has given. We read about Him ascending on high, leading captivity captive, and giving gifts to men. And that is in the church. Every believer has gifts of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, to be used in the church, in ministry. And ministry isn't here having a technical name position in the church. It's all, it includes that, but it's all types of ministering, how we serve and minister to one another, and that thereby using our gifts and thereby growing as we do that. And these are the main three main topics or points for this morning. But first, I had a fruit tree in my backyard. This is a made up story. I don't have any fruit trees, but I had a fruit tree in my backyard and fertilized it and watered it and nurtured it and just noticed that it never bore any fruit, and no leaves ever grew on the tree. So as I was looking at this and pondering what was the matter with this fruit tree, my granddaughter came over, who's an excellent farmer grower over there, and she came by and said, Grandpa, you're not going to get any fruit off of that tree. That tree is dead. I said, oh, okay, that's it. It was dead. It's not going to produce any fruit. But live trees, live Christians, do grow and produce fruit for what we're called to do. We know the famous verse in John 15, where Jesus speaks and says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. So again, the vital union between us and the Lord Jesus Christ is essential. But second to that, we're not going to grow as we should unless we are united to all believers, but unless we're involved in the ministry of, in the church, ministering to one another. Members of one another. We see that in what we read in Ephesians there and back in the first scripture reading in Romans chapter 12, where Paul is speaking about the body of Christ and its function and growth. He says in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function." Paul, especially in 1 Corinthians, expounds on how the church is like a body, and each limb, each part, doing its part. And not everybody the same, but yet many members in one. That's what he goes on to say. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." It's difficult to understand. It's difficult to picture, but it's true nonetheless, because the Bible teaches that. God's word says that. It's so we believe that it's true. And we can begin to understand how a group of Christians formed in a local church can all supply what the whole needs. And of course, growing up into the head who is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's always the key, being united to him and as our head. And though there are many means of grace, again, the essential thing is everyone doing his part. As we read everyone using their gifts and doing their part. Peter, the Apostle Peter, speaks about this in 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. He says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all these things, have fervent love for one another." There are, I believe I counted about 38 specific commands or addresses in the New Testament for believers to do something for one another. The main overriding command is love. And then as that works out, we're to encourage one another, edify one another, different commands, sympathize with one another. So about 38, that's a lot of commands. And commands are something that we have to do. We don't have a choice. We don't have a choice to love God or to love his people. And we don't have a choice to minister and use that love in loving service to his body. But this is how we grow, and we grow together. Peter goes on to say, "Love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." So you can see how the picture there is that all using their gifts, ministering to one another, causes growth. As we read in chapter 4, the growth of the body up into the head, who is the head, that is Christ, for being transformed or conformed to his image. But not alone, in the body of Christ, and there will be growth. And it's growing up in love. Almost without exception in all these verses, even in the ones in 1 Corinthians, love is mentioned as a key. And so it's not only growing, but it's growing in love. And out of that love, we have a desire, we're given a desire and the gifts to serve one another, to minister to one another. We see that in Galatians chapter 5. He says, "For you," it's our memory verse this week, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You can see the connection there to love. Serving one another through love, growing up into that love, with that love, in that love, the love that the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in our hearts for Christ, for God, and for other believers. Love is a powerful motivation. It's the Christian motivation for obeying God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Motivation for commandment keeping is not earning our salvation, but demonstrating our love for Christ and for his body, the church, his bride. What husband bringing home a new bride doesn't want his family to love her as he loves her? And so your question is always, do we love Christ's bride? Do we love the body of Christ? Do we love other Christians? And the best place to demonstrate that, to do that, to show that, to grow in that, is practically speaking, we can't love the believers very well who live in Africa and Tanzania and the uttermost parts of the world, but we have been placed in a church, we're members of that church, and we have the opportunity to put that commandment into practice, those commandments, to grow actually together in love. This is what was true in the early church. In the book of Acts, which is a section of scripture that we use for our baptism church membership class, those of you who've taken the class are, I'm sure, familiar with this, and certainly my brother Chris Schaff is as well, as we do the class together. But it's such a powerful section of scripture in Acts chapter 2, at the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in demonstrating the power of God in all kinds of physical ways. But then we see the power, even greater demonstration, in the blessing of the preaching of the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. And he was used by God, the Holy Spirit attending his word, the preaching, to convict and to save a multitude there. And so this new beginning, this new church formed with 3,000 members, that's church growth. Real church growth, and but not only in numbers. See, when we speaking about growing, it's not only from the outside bringing people coming into the church, but it's those who are in the church growing spiritually, growing in their knowledge of Scripture, growing in a practical application of it, growing in graces and in gifts. So it's all the growth. But here's the love, you see. Now, pick up at verse 40. And with many other words, Peter here testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued. This is what they did. This is what is the biblical model for what believers do when they're saved. And they don't just not grow, but they grow in a particular way in the environment of the church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as any had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with simplicity, with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily, added to the church daily, those who were being saved. You see the progression. You see the conviction of the Spirit. You see them crying out to be saved. They got baptized. They formed the church. And then their love grew. How do we know that? Look what it says. It says they continue daily in the house with gladness It says, not all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as any had need. Love sprang up. Love grew in their hearts, and they had a love and a care for other Christians in the church. There were many who had great needs, physical needs of food and clothing and shelter. And so they not only met together, but they loved each other. And that's the goal. That's the model for all New Testament churches and the goal that we strive for in this church and any good church that you may be part of. So it's important to see how that love grew. J.R. Miller comments on this. The Christian life must always be a growing life. There must be growth in knowledge. Young Christians will never grow, however, if they feed only upon trashy novels and newspapers. They must get the apostles teaching God's good bread for souls, and they keep themselves also in the fellowship of the apostles. We would say they attached themselves to the church and made Christian people their friends. They went regularly to communion, breaking of bread, and they were faithful in attending the meetings for prayer, and they took up the new life with grace, earnestness, and faithfulness. So the love sprang up in their hearts as they did so, and they were able to grow in love and grow together in service and ministry, finding and using their gifts to serve. Again, to just point and emphasize the fact that Christ gives gifts to all Christians. We all have gifts, but those gifts are not for selfish purposes, to puff us up, to make us big in our own eyes, but they're to be used to building up others, edifying the body of Christ. Through ministry and service, going back to our main text in chapter 4, the gifts given there, first mentions are the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints. But it doesn't end there. They're not just growing in their understanding, and as important as that is in the apostles' doctrine, but it's equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. It's certainly so that they're not swayed and tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, so they can have an ear and a sense of when what's true doctrine and false doctrine. That's key and important. But it is so important as well, just as important, that they're being equipped for the work of ministry, to minister to one another and take those roles in the body that God has gifted them for in love and service. Again, in first reading some verses from 1 Corinthians, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleases. We usually read this when we welcome new members into the church. And it's such a wonderful thing to see people coming in, either by baptism and then joining the church, or just those having been baptized coming into the church as members. But we realize that it was their decision. They didn't have to join. Nobody forced them, held a gun to their head. They came in willingly. We know that it was by God's good providence that they joined here. They didn't join some other church. And that's the way he does. He sets each member according to his will in the body, just as he pleases. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And in verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You can see the unity, the union, the growth, the way that's intended to be, using spiritual gifts, as was mentioned in Ephesians 4, in 1 Peter, and again, to be serving one another. And how important it is to have love in serving. From experience, if we try to serve and we're proud in it, we're proud of what we know, or we're proud that, you know, we look down on other people and they're not on our level. It's all in lowliness and humility that we're to serve. And the overall thing is love, and a genuine love. And that'll sweeten our service and our ministering to one another. Humility is a key in doing anything for the Lord, but in the church particularly. And Paul mentions that in chapter 4. He says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. It's a picture of humility. It's a picture of grace. And that's what we're to serve. We're to get in there and use our gifts, minister to one another. All of us, everyone can do something in the church. In serving one another, we are serving Christ. When we love others, especially in the body of Christ, we're showing love to Christ. Christ says, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. The church is the apple of his eye, is an indivisible union between Christ and his people. So what we do, even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, his brethren, we do it to him. And that's something that we just don't think of often. It's hard to comprehend, but yet it's taught. We know it's true. And this is the principles we need to live out of through ministry and in serve and humility in that ministry. And back in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, and something I didn't mention, it starts off in that chapter, but I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices. Okay, how do you do that? You don't climb up on some altar and get sacrificed, literally. It's giving your all to God, right? Living sacrifices, using all that we have for God. But where is that done? It's done in the church. This is where we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, our time, our energy, our money, our gifts, and we use them for the good of the body to grow up into the head, who is Christ, in all gentleness and lowliness, in love. That wonderful verse in Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, were called to liberty, free in Christ, free from the condemnation of the law, free from slavery to sin and Satan, free to do what? Free to use our liberty to sin more? No. To serve the flesh? No. But through love, to serve now God, but to serve one another. In love, serve one another. It's a key. It's an important mindset. It's important. The reason why I'm harping on this so much is because I'm so convinced of it. These things are near and dear to my heart because they're what I have experienced all my Christian life. Since I was saved, the Lord put me in a little small church in Copeg for 6 months, brought me over to Calvary Baptist in Amityville for a long time up until from 1980 to 95, serving in a good, solid gospel preaching local church. I grew. I was serving there. I raised my family there, and the blessings are there in the local church. And it's so important that we see these truths and just know that as important as growth is, you're going to be stunted if you're not using your gifts, ministering, serving in the local church. That's one of the main means of grace. We pray. We read his word, study his word, hear the preaching. We spend time in fellowship. We take the ordinances of the church, the Lord's Supper, after getting baptized, and we join the church and become part of the body. It's like a family. How do children grow best? Do they grow in an orphanage, maybe off or abandoned somewhere? No. They grow in a family with parents and siblings. And that's the way it is in the church. It's just like a family, a real family, where we're growing up. We're growing up in our understanding and our abilities, but to be used to bless the family, not for our blessing primarily, but to bless others in that family. Just some applications from all this. Hopefully, We'll see these truths. The key, of course, in everything is to abiding close to Christ. If you're in Christ, you're never going to be separated from Him. But we know, we all know, that there are times when we don't fellowship with Christ as we should. That's what this abiding is. We're in Christ, but we're in fellowship with Him, having communion, spending time with Him, and spending time in His church and serving in His church, the apple of His eye, His dear, beloved bride whom He loves. So abiding in Christ, in His fellowship and the fellowship of the church. In Hebrews chapter 10, we're reminded, let us hold fast our confession. What's our confession as believers? Or the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider, think about it, meditate on it, consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That means not in us, but in all of us, stirring it up. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting or encouraging one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. In our day, difficult because of the virus, because of the things that are going on. And yet, there's ways that we can still fellowship together, if not in person, then on the Zoom meetings, then on the live stream, but particularly on the Zoom meetings. If you can't be here, it is a form of fellowship. It's not ideal. There's technical glitches. Sometimes we have our mics on, sometimes when they should be off, and vice versa, and all kinds of things. But it is genuine fellowship. I've been blessed at the prayer meeting, blessed at the Bible studies, blessed at the evening services, as it's a form of fellowship. And as we are able to join back together physically, again, that's going to be blessed. Make sure that, first and foremost, if you hear this morning, that you're in Christ. Are you in Christ? If you're not in Christ, you're separated from God. Your sins have separated you from the living God. You're without God in this world and will spend eternity separated from God in eternal punishment in hell. Flee to Christ. Come into Him. And as we come into Him, we'll be joined with Him and His body as we believe on His name, the only name given, the only one to come to, the only one who can save us from our sins. And then, once we're in, to be involved in using our gifts. You say, I don't know what my gifts is. That's, gifts are. That's one of the great cop-outs. I don't know my gifts. I'm just going to wait and do nothing until I find out my gifts. Just do something. Believe me, God can use you no matter what your gift is. Even if you serve for a time in a wrong ministry that's really not your niche or whatever, you'll find out. And God can use you within the lives of one another, encouraging, building them up, exhorting them. All the commands that we have for one another. Get involved. It's the best way to grow. As Christians, we grow together and we're blessed. If we feel like we often do, like we're not growing and not bearing any fruit, we can't see it. Just trust the Lord. Continue steadfast in being involved, in serving and being here at church, and you'll grow and you'll grow together with other believers. Be good stewards, God says. We're to be good stewards. Everybody knows what stewardship is, right? It's taking care of something that's been given to you. And Christ has given us eternal life, and He's given us these gifts, these talents, these things that we can use. And if we just let them lay, we're not going to grow. Nobody's going to benefit from our gifts. But if we use them in the body, in the church, we'll be blessed ourselves, but we'll be able to bless others and to grow together in love and in service. So using our gifts. And again, the means of grace and the simple ways that we can serve. Of course, through all in love, but to praying for one another. Knowing and to know each other, to get to know one another so we know how to pray. So we're not just praying, rattling off names in our prayers, but actually know the needs and can bring comfort to people in the body of Christ, encouragement, just a word sometimes, and shedding a tear, coming alongside, can be a blessing and an encouragement. Forgiving others who step on our toes and sin against us, serving as the text says in different ways, serving one another, phone calls, texts, emails, all ways that we can be involved in one another's lives. And we need to do it. Making meals, driving people to doctor's appointments, helping people out. It's there. The things are there to do. We can't do everything. We can do something. And we must do these things. Looking out for our brothers and sisters. Oh, they're not here. They haven't been here. Why aren't they here? Those kind of things are ways which we minister to one another. So please, brethren, take these things to heart and pray about them. And we want to grow together. We want to bring glory to God in this church and in any other church that you might be a member of. But in all of us, we need to see these truths. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that these words will go in one ear and out the other unless you bless them, unless you make them stick and by the Holy Spirit convict and encourage and comfort and help us to not only understand them in our heads, but to believe them with our hearts, whole hearts, and to put them into practice. And Father, we thank you. We have such a great Savior to serve, who gave all for us, who gave his life a ransom for us, our Redeemer who loves us so much. And Father, you who love us in demonstrating that love and sending him for us into this world, down to this world, down into the grave and up again, ascending up into heaven and now ruling and reigning and ever living to intercede for us. Father, we're thankful for all you've done, and we pray that we would use our gifts, be good stewards of the manifold grace, the grace that you've given, the multitude of gifts and blessings that we have. Help us, Father. We pray that you bless your word and bless us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.